The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Producing from a makeshift studio in a Virginia cave is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, and I'm working from my home studio in New York. And Taylor, I'd say this, you are barreling toward a weekend you are destined to forget.
Yeah, man. I was pondering yesterday what the over-under on beverages consumed could be for the weekend. We'll have, you know, three solid days. Early line was about 33 and a half, but after consulting with my brother, it might be a little bit closer to 40. Any thoughts?
One thing is I want to protect you a little bit. You haven't given the full context, so this is just not a common weekend for you. Okay?
That is true.
You actually have a specific reason to drink, and I think you would agree with me that Monday morning could be a complete disaster for this show.
Oh, my God. So you're going to be off a red
eye. You got to get the context. Give the context.
I know. Wow. Good producing over here. So I'm going on a bachelor party in the Outer Banks for my good pal, Max. And we're going Thursday morning. We will be there all the way until Sunday morning. We have to leave the house at 9 a.m. I'm going to march back up to the Annapolis area, probably about late afternoon. And then my wife is going to take my corpse all the way back to Connecticut that evening. So I'll be getting ready for the show in the car, God willing. And then we'll be up. I mean, I'll probably be up at 6:15 on Monday morning to get ready for the show.
Oh, my God. You are going to be such a mess. I'll be coming off a red eye from San Diego. You know, my third red eye in like seven weeks. And I'm going to be kind of beaten up by that. But nothing like you. Like, I'm worried about you. We've had Tim fill in for me. I might have Tim fill in for you next Monday.
Maybe we should just keep Travis through the weekend. You know, he'll be producing for me Thursday, Friday. We'll be okay. We'll make it through. It'll be a good test of our medal, our collective medal of the show.
Man, it absolutely. All right. The Mets placed Jacob DeGrom on the injured list with tightness in his right side. The Mets said DeGrom's MRI on Sunday night was, quote unquote, clean of any issues. We'll get into the level of concern over this when we talk to Jessica Mendoza. Two-time All-Star infielder Todd Frazier was designated for assignment by the Pittsburgh Pirates on Monday after hitting .086 in 13 games. He's 35 years old. Outfielder Jared Kelnick will be promoted to the big leagues later this week, sources tell our Jeff Passan. The Mariners prospect, of course, was acquired in that huge Robinson Cano trade 2.5 years ago, a deal that may well haunt the Mets, especially starting this week. We'll talk to Mets fan Sarah Langs about that. And Shohei Ohtani has been out of lineup in his past two starts on the mound as he was held out for precautionary reasons on Wednesday after being hit by a pitch in his right elbow 3 days prior. But tonight, it looks like he's going to be on the mound against the Astros, and he will be in the lineup as a designated hitter. That's what Joe Maddon told reporters yesterday. Let's get to the good stuff. Angels, Astros, last night, tie score, top of the sixth.
Here's a bunt, a squeeze bunt. The flip to the plate's late. It pops off the glove of the catcher, Castro, anyway. And the Angels have just squeezed one home. It's 5-4.
Terry Smith, Angels Radio, AM 830. Taylor, what is this thing he referred to? A squeeze bunt? What is that? I've never heard of that.
I'm unaware. And if I'm not mistaken, Jose Altuve also had a successful bunt in that game. It was jarring, to say the least.
It was a bunt fest. Astros and Angels, Reds and Pirates. The Reds absolutely blew out Pittsburgh. A lot of help from Tyler Naquin.
Fly ball deep right field, and it is hooking off the post. And Tyler Naquin has himself a three-run home run. How about that? It is 11-1 Reds.
I love the Cowboy. Jeff Brantley with that call, 700 WLW. The Orioles and the Red Sox. And Trey Mancini broke a tie in the bottom of the sixth.
Mancini drives it to center field and deep. Verdugo back, looking up, out of here. Trey Mancini exits the ballpark. And the Orioles take a 2-1 lead on the sixth on the seventh Boomer ball of the season.
That from 105.7, the Fan. The Orioles win 4-1. You know, the best play in this game, Taylor, I think you would agree with me, happened when Cedric Mullins wound up with a triple. It was one of those plays that you want to talk about it on a podcast, but unless you see the play, you really can't do his justice because, man, he hustled his butt off considering where the ball landed and where he was. incredible. He winds up at third base.
This guy, he's unreal, man. I'm with my people this weekend and everyone's talking about Cedric Mullins. They don't even care that the Orioles nearly got swept by the Red Sox. Yikes.
We got to get him on the show sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Brandon Belt off to a nice start for the Giants.
Here comes Brandon Belt with two down and the base is empty. Now Belt swings and he drives one deep left center field. Way back there, still going. Goodbye! A home run for Brandon Belt to the opposite field. The Giants get their first hit and their first run all at the same time.
And they beat Texas 3-1. The Giants, 21-14, one of three teams with a winning percentage of .600 or better. Cardinals 21-14, and the Boston Red Sox with the best record in baseball at 22-14. Now, before we get to Sarah and to Jess, a new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 on Saturday, May 15th, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV to watch. And it's nearly playoff season in the NBA. Keep up with all the action on the court by listening to the Hoop Collective, the Woj Pod, and Jalen and Jacoby, wherever you get your podcasts. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield, who's the Pablo Sandoval of the show today. a great pinch hitter. We were scheduled to have Jessica Mendoza, but her schedule changed. Dave, we reached out to you. You came off the bench, and I'm sure something's going to be flying over the wall here.
Now, I like the reference in some ways, but I just ran a half marathon 2 weeks ago. Can Pablo run a half marathon? So come on here.
Yeah, what's going? See, that's the thing. Like, it's going through my mind is that amazing game tying home run he hit the other night on a fastball, and you're just thinking about when his belt exploded. That's not fair, right?
It's not fair. Can you believe he is back in the majors and playing well? You know, one of the sort of the great little stories of 2021.
He is a fun story, and it's funny. One of my favorite conversations about him, and it really, for me, informs why he's such a good pinch hitter. I remember, you know, because throughout his career, as you know, the conversation's been about his weight, and what is probably missed because of that is how his heart rate never seems to go above 60, whether it's the World Series or, you know, it's pinch hitting in the ninth inning. And he talked about that like, nah, I love that. Like, I love being in. He has such tremendous bat to ball skills.
Yeah. And I think I was watching the game last night. I think Tim and Eduardo were talking a little bit about the sort of that decline of the professional pinch hitter who doesn't exist anymore. Cause you know, we have so many relievers on rosters. There's not a role for that kind of player. He's really the only guy I can think of in today's game. That's kind of your job, pinch hitter. So it's fun that at least one of those guys still exists.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact stat, but I think it might be that he's the first pinch hitter to have four home runs in by a certain date. I think it was May 10th. And since Rubio Durazo with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So Sandoval thriving in that spot. And thank you for jumping in and being the Pablo Sandoval. Never mind about the weight, only about the performance at the plate for us today. I want to talk to you. I've been working on this story for the last couple of weeks. It's kind of a fun exercise I've been doing. You know, as you look ahead, I love the trade deadline stuff. And as I was looking ahead toward the trade deadline this year, I think you would agree with me that Trevor Story is going to be the most coveted position player. Yes?
Yeah, no doubt about it. They have to trade him. You know, you never know if that ownership, the way they might think, but they have to trade him.
Yeah, and they will trade him, and they're going to get good return. I want to make that absolutely clear. But it's very interesting, as I was looking at this, you know, okay, where could he potentially land? It's amazing how specialized his market is and how limited his potential market could be. I've had general managers say this to me through the years. Look, you know, when we get to the trade deadline, everybody needs pitching. Everybody can add a reliever. Pretty much everybody can add a starter, which is why you're going to see a ton of those guys move. But they say if you're going to move a position player, the best time to do it is in the offseason, because you get in the middle of the summer and you have no idea if one team or three teams might need a shortstop. Right. And when you look at potential Trevor Story suitors, wow, like they're not that many, because so many contenders are committed to shortstops. And so I ran through them in the story. The Dodgers have Corey Seager. The San Diego Padres, of course, have Fernando Tatis Jr. So they're not making a move for him. The Giants have Brandon Crawford under contract for this year. And you might say, well, they could blow out Brandon Crawford in the second half of the year. I don't think that's the sort of thing that Farhan Zaidi, their head of baseball ops, would do. And I don't even know if the Rockies would want to trade to him, to a division rival. You go through the National League Central. The St. Louis Cardinals have Paul DeJong. They have Nolan Arenado. So you're not going to get him for the left side of the infield. The Cubs are probably going to be sellers. And in any event, they have Javier Baez. You go to the National League East, Francisco Lindor is with the Mets. They're not making that trade. The Braves have Danby Swanson. The Nationals have Trey Turner. The Phillies have Didi Gregorius in year one of a two-year deal. You go to the American League West. You would agree with me, I'm sure, that that's not the sort of move the Oakland Athletics would make.
Right.
You know, look at the Astros. They have Carlos Correa. American League Central, the team most likely to spend, the White Sox, they've got Tim Anderson. You go to the American League East, the Red Sox have Xander Bogaerts. The Rays usually don't make a move like that. The Blue Jays, they've got Bo Bichette. The one team that absolutely jumps out at me as being a potential suitor for Trevor Story, the New York Yankees. Because I think everyone in baseball would agree at this point, they're probably not locked in with Gleyber Torres as a long-term shortstop moving forward. And I've wondered if the Yankees are going to be aggressive on Story during the offseason, as they look ahead and figure out what they're going to do with Gleyber, because he hasn't looked that good at shortstop. What do you think?
Yeah, and he hasn't hit either. You know, he just hit his first home run the other day. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. That would require at least for half a year a lot of shuffling. Would you slide Torres over to second, LeMahieu over to first, but Luke Voigt's coming back. He has to play. I guess he could DH, but then are you going to play Stanton in the outfield and risk injuries? But that's a good kind of problem to have, too many players. So it makes sense. I guess I would circle back maybe to Oakland just to get your thoughts, because they didn't make – I mean, this is going way back to, 2014 when they made the John Lester trade.
Right.
So that's at least one big name, big salary kind of player Billy Beane did add when he thought they had a good team.
And can I jump in real quick? Yeah. Trevor Story's making $17.5 million this year. So it would have to be a big financial addition. And you're right. You know, we have seen them do that from time to time. And Elvis Andrus has not looked good in the first part of the season.
And, you know, that more than any other year, the AL might be winnable for the Oakland A's. You know, the Yankees right now don't look like that powerhouse team. Boston, we're still waiting to see if that pitching holds out all year. The White Sox look pretty good right now, but they have, you know, a couple key injuries in the outfield. So, but yeah, do the A's have that kind of money to bring on that salary? Their farm system isn't the greatest, so the Yankees could probably outbid them as well.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the Rockies, as good a player as Story is, it doesn't look like they're necessarily going to have a lot of bidders. And it kind of reminds me of when Manny Machado was in the trade market. You know, we speculated for a long time about it, but then by the time we got to the close to the trade deadline, it was like the Dodgers and the Orioles were the only two left in the bar at 2 a.m. You knew they were going home together.
Yeah, and look what the Orioles were kind of forced into making, whatever that was, right? That 5-for-1 trade. None of those guys still, you know, early, only a couple years ago, but none of those guys as of now look like, you know, they're going to be future stars. So the Orioles probably aren't going to get, you know, a foundation type player out of that trade.
Yep. The Mets announced yesterday that the MRI for Jacob DeGrom yesterday was clean. I pointed out on Twitter that, you know, the information's not all out there. They're not telling us exactly what the source is, they best understand it, of his discomfort in his right side is. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put your level of concern about DeGrom?
Yeah, it's got to be, it was like a 3 last week, I think. Now it's got to be, I'd say, a 6. You know, again, they're saying not serious, but this is the Mets, you know. I know it's a different regime, new owner and all that, but the Mets have a history of not giving us all the details on injuries. So we got to sit tight and hope it's just, you know, one start or something like that. But, you know, we've seen a lot of pitchers come down with these injuries and, you know, they're out 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah. The good thing is that it's not his elbow and it's not his shoulder. You know, I, by the way, when we say that the Mets are being transparent, that's their prerogative. You know, it's not like it's a court of law. They can handle it any way they want, but we're not required to believe everything that they tell us or think they're telling us everything. And they clearly, you know, are still trying to get their handle around it. They said he was okay to pitch on Sunday and he had to come out of the game on his own.
All you can hope here is that DeGrom knows and understands his body and realized on Sunday he had went to the limit, pitched those 5 innings, felt a little something, and it was smart enough to say, I don't want to make this worse, you know, where it would lead to a longer term issue.
All right. Yesterday we got word that the Pittsburgh Pirates designated Todd Frazier for assignment. You know, he's 35 years old. He's hitting under 100. You know, who knows if he's going to have another opportunity in the big leagues, whether or not he does. Man, this guy's been great for baseball. He's been one of my favorites. 11 years in the big leagues, over 200 home runs, and he's always fun. Like, I feel like he's one of those guys that, you know, when his time in baseball is over, the plus-minus ratio for him in terms of what he gave the sport and what he took away, pretty high.
Yeah, one of the great talkers in the game. One of the guys who obviously just love playing baseball. Enjoyed being there every single day. I mean, my memory of him, of course, is that home run derby in Cincinnati, which I think that was the first one they did under sort of the new rules. And doing it in front of the home crowd, that really revitalized the home run derby, which had kind of become a bit of a slog. And then they changed the rules to allow more swings and more pitches. And he did in front of the home crowd, and it was a terrific moment.
And they, you know, they and we at ESPN, we kind of lucked into that. Dave, I don't know if you remember the context, but there was bad weather in Cincinnati. And
That's right.
A smaller window to play. And so they were making up rules like we talk about on the podcast, like the wiffle ball game when you were a kid. They made up those rules like with an hour to go before the show. Like, what should we do? Okay, we better have this timed. And he and his brother, Charlie, who was pitching to him, they put on such an unbelievable and fun, and I underlined the word fun, show for us that night. They completely changed the trajectory of the home run derby with that, with their performance that night.
Yeah, they did. And Charlie might have cheated a little bit. I think he was throwing a few pitches before the previous one had left the park. But yeah, no doubt. I forgot that they had made up the rules on the fly. And I do remember walking back to my hotel in the pouring rain that night. But you're right. Just an unbelievable moment. Now the home run derby, you know, I know some older people maybe still scoff at it, but I tell you what, kids and casual fans absolutely love the derby. And you're right. We can thank the Fraziers for that to some extent.
And we got word just a few minutes ago from the Milwaukee Brewers that Jordan Zimmermann is retiring after 13 seasons in the major leagues. He, of course, pitched for the Nationals, for the Tigers, for the Brewers this year. 95 and 91 with a 4.07 ERA. I've always loved Jordan Zimmermann. I love talking with him because he's the only player that I've spoken with about ice fishing. What comes to mind when you think of Jordan Zimmermann? Maybe that great sinker that he had.
Yeah, the no-hitter, I think of that playoff start where he went 8 2/3 and they came out and the Nationals ended up losing that like 15 or 16 inning game with the Giants, whatever it was.
Hey.
Really good run, 2011 to 2015, 3.14 ERA. Obviously, he then went to Detroit. That contract did not work out, but really good pitcher there for a time.
And speaking of no hitters, you got a piece coming out tomorrow on no hitters. And I know it's a work in progress for you, but one of the existential questions, are we seeing too many no hitters?
Yeah, it seems a little silly to ask that, but doing the research on this, Buster, I realized, well, I used to remember I could list off all the recent no hitters. Well, in the 1980s, there were only 13 no hitters the entire decade. Wow. In the 2010s, there were 34. We're already at 6 in the 220s, you know, plus these no hitters are becoming more dominant because there's more strikeouts. The average game score is going way up. So are we seeing too many? I don't know. It's a lot. You know, we're two hit batters and one wild pitch from three perfect games this year. But they're still fun. You know, we can let the fans debate if there are too many no hitters.
Yeah, and it's interesting because earlier this year, and I've spoken about this before, I spoke with the general manager who talked about how he really feels like in some respects we're right back in the 1990s with PEDs, except it's, in his opinion, pitchers using foreign substances and learning how to spin the baseball better and being so dominant.
Right.
There's no question that our perspective on a 30 home run season or a 40 home run season and 500 career homers completely changed from 1988 to 2004. Those numbers shifted dramatically. And now we don't think of a 500 home run hitter the way that we used to. And I suspect that the more no hitters you have, the more that it's going to diminish the impact of any individual effort.
Yeah, it loses a little bit of its luster. Look, there's no doubt if a DeGrom pitches a no hitter, that's exciting, right? He's a big name. He's a superstar. No offense to Wade Miley. When Wade Miley does it, you know, it's a great moment for him and for the Reds, no doubt, but it doesn't, you know, push the envelope on bringing baseball to the news. But I would say one thing about the spin rate. You're absolutely right. And we know this. Pitchers are throwing more breaking balls than ever before. And that's, I think, one reason we're seeing all these low hit games. It's harder to sit on a fastball, you know, let alone when that fastball comes, it's harder. The pitchers, look, this is the season-long discussion. Are the pitchers too good? The no-hitters are just a symbol of that.
Yeah, I know Joe Maddon the other day was talking about that. He said, everyone's talking about, you know, velocity. He said, I think it's about the high number of breaking pitches we're seeing. All right, Dave, thanks for doing this, Pablo.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes. The clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit
to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Numbers Game with Sarah Langs.
Sarah Langs, reporter and producer for MLB.com. Sarah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you got to help me out. I need to know how much we're in trouble with next Monday's show, because here's what's going on with Taylor. He's headed to a wedding this weekend. He's going to a bachelor party. What'd you say, Taylor? Friday night, right?
Bachelor party Thursday through Sunday morning.
Yeah. Okay. So bachelor party through the weekend in the Outer Banks. And in theory, this is what his plan is, to drive from the Outer Banks after the, you know, the 3 days of drinking, and then come back all the way to Connecticut and then do the show as I get off a red eye at 7:15 on Monday morning. How much are we in trouble?
Oh, my goodness. You guys can do it. I know you can. But that is quite the lead up to a Monday show. But right, airport Mondays. I mean, with car Mondays, apparently, too.
Oh, my goodness. I am worried. As I said to him before, I might have Tim replace him on Monday rather than me. All right. I want to ask you this, and I'm curious about it, because you've been a Mets fan your whole life, but you work in the industry and some of that goes away. I grew up a psycho Dodger fan, and by 1989, that was gone. I just didn't care anymore. We got news last night that Jared Kelnick is being called to the big leagues by the Seattle Mariners. And you, having grown up as a Mets fan, how excited are you and how much does it hurt to see Jared Kelnick debuting in the big leagues later this week?
Well, as you said, I mean, I think a lot of the fandom feelings really do go away the longer and longer you work in this. I mean, especially for me over these last, 4 years now. But I was excited. I mean, I think I picked him to win Rookie of the Year in the American League. So I wanted him to play this year so I could be right there. So very excited to see that. And I mean, I think it'll be, it's just great because the Mariners, you know, had a couple of weeks of, they got off to a good start. They had some relevancy to start, and it's going to be really exciting to see him play there. But I will say, I tweeted out actually the pronunciation guide for his name last night, because you got it correct, of course. But a lot of people say Kelenic, it's Kelnick. And there were some fun Twitter replies. There were a couple people responding like, no, it's pronounced Mets fans tears or Mets fans cry or something like that. And I was reading some of those this morning, and I'm sure that will be a storyline his entire career. I mean, I think he could have a Hall of Fame career, and we will certainly hear about it forever. He could have a utility player type career, which I'm not expecting. And I think we would still hear about it constantly. So it is funny how certain players get tied to teams like that they were, you know, drafted by but never played for. So certainly on the docket for him.
And I got to be honest, I mispronounced his name for a long time, like a year before I actually got it right. But I, you know, this spring I've managed to turn the page on that. All right, let's play the numbers game.
Number three
is 10 and 30. So Shohei Ohtani is pitching tonight, has 10 homers at the plate. He has 30 strikeouts as a pitcher. The only players to do that in a season are him in 2018 and Babe Ruth in 1918 and 1919. So if he gets a 31st strikeout tonight, which as long as the start goes even decently well, he should, it would be just him in 2018 when he had 22 homers and 63 strikeouts, and then Babe Ruth in 1918 when he had 11 homers and 43 strikeouts. So that 1919 season, Ruth had exactly 30. And he's one of just 7 players with at least 50 career home runs and 90 career strikeouts as a pitcher overall, with 57 homers and 96 strikeouts. And if he gets to 60 and 100, so 60 homers in 3 home runs and 100 strikeouts in 4, the list will be just 4 other players: Ruth, George Van Halteren, who played from 1887 to 1903, Rick Ankiel, who we know of, and Johnny Lindell, who played from 1941 to 1954. So, you know, he's getting into that rarefied air. We do not have to stretch to make the Babe Ruth comparisons. I will say that.
Number two.
Number two is 292. So that's what Giancarlo Stanton is hitting this season, which is his best in the first 30 games of any season of his career. He has a 914 OPS, which is second only to 2014, which was when he was on an MVP pace. He got the hit by pitch in September, ended his season early, and he finished second in MVP voting that year. But he's had two overlapping 15-game stretches since the middle of April where he hit 413 or better. 413, very random. But the point is here, those are both within his top 10 best 15-game stretches ever. And the eight others were not in a Yankees uniform. This is the point here. This is the Yankee, the Giancarlo Stanton that the Yankees were trading for. He's finally playing like it. We got a taste of it in the postseason last year, and now he's really doing it. But I dug into him a bit for MLB.com today. And something that really stood out to me, and it makes no sense, and maybe you can explain this to me. He is seeing more pitches in the zone than he's ever seen in his career. I don't know why you would ever throw a pitch in the zone to Giancarlo Stanton. He's seeing almost 50% pitches in the zone, which would be the highest ever. He's being really aggressive on those. He's swinging like 70% of the time. And then he's doing really well on them. And he's seeing a career high even on middle pitches. So I don't know why pitchers are doing that, but I'm sure he's very grateful for it. And he's doing well even outside the zone, but that's certainly helping.
Number one.
Number one is 5-15. So the Dodgers are 5-15 in their last 20 games. We know this stretch they've been on. They have not been good. And they were popular and picked to win the World Series. I picked them. A lot of people were picking them. So only six eventual World Series champions had at least one 20-game stretch where they went 5-15 or worse. It was the 2016 Cubs, 2014 Giants, 03 Marlins, 2000 Yankees, 1944 Cardinals, and the 1914 Boston Braves. So it makes sense that this would be a little more common more recently. You can make it as a wild card, although the Cubs did not. But the Marlins did, of course. But it's interesting to look at exactly what they've done from a team that we all expected to kind of just run away with everything. And we've only seen a handful of reigning World Series champions in the last 20 years or so even have a stretch like this. Last time was 2013 Giants. We also had the 07 Cardinals, 03 Angels, which is just, you know, those aren't teams that we necessarily expected to repeat. So I think that that is the big difference here.
So, Sarah, this morning I was looking at the standings and it just jumped out at me. Oh, my God. There is a team we are very much underrating early this year. And that team, I think the reason why I concluded that was because, through the years, hearing general managers talk about how good their teams are, assessing their own teams, they don't talk about win-loss record. They talk about run differential. And the team with the best run differential by far so far this year, the Chicago White Sox at plus 53. You know, the best records in baseball so far belong to the Boston Red Sox, got the San Francisco Giants off to a good start. What's the other team? There's another. Oh, Cardinals are 21-14. But the White Sox at plus 53 in a division that, you know, coming into the year, we thought they would win.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I actually just noticed that like yesterday morning that the White Sox are finally where we expected them to be. They weren't there the first few weeks of the season. I think even at this point, it's such an accomplishment with the injuries that they've suffered with Luis Robert, with Eloy Jimenez. I mean, Lance Lynn was on the IL for a bit. Lucas Giolito isn't even pitching like Lucas Giolito. So I think that they are on their way to being that sort of powerhouse that we thought they would be. I'm not sure that they'll end up better than the Red Sox are still leading the world. So we'll see. But they've certainly looked a lot better. Every time I see Billy Hamilton bat, I think there's no way this team is going to be the team that we expected them to be. But as you said, especially by run differential, which is definitely a lot better to look at than a win-loss record, especially this early, they're doing it, which is really, really cool to see.
My son last night, he's playing the show, and he asked me, he said, "Who's Michael Kopech?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot about him going for 35 strikeouts in his first 22 and a third innings this season." All right, Sarah, great to talk with you.
Thanks so much for having me, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets on a Tuesday. First up, we have Melvin Reveron at Reveron Melvin. He writes in, "I have a suggestion for Baggage Claim Monday. Do a live podcast from a restaurant that's in the airport. You can send a crew ahead to set up fans to watch the podcast, thus reducing awkward glances at the airport." Not a bad idea, Melvin. Buster, do you have a preference on airport or dining establishment for this idea?
Wow. That would be a lot of fun. I'd say this, it's not going to happen in the pandemic context. I don't think our parent company would approve anything like that, but that would be fun. I would say, you know, one of the places I did a Monday podcast from was, and I, you know, walk into these airports and you're looking for a quiet place, and it was 5:30 in the morning. And so a quiet place I found was actually that area where kids play. And they had the kiddie cars and stuff like that in the St. Louis airport. And so I climbed into a kiddie car with my laptop, and the looks that I got from the parents that started rolling in there about 30 minutes later, they were concerned. Let's just say that.
That would be an interesting setup for a live show. But, you know, everyone could kind of post up in different fun areas. Maybe, you know, Melvin could sit on the
slide. Sitting on the slide. Yeah. Get somebody on the swing. Somebody sitting on the horsey. That sort of thing.
Exactly. Let's go to Mr. Jakey RS at JakeyYRS79. He writes in, I went to opening day. Confession time for Mr. Jakey. I went to opening day to boo the Astros, but also don't think Altuve deserves all the vitriol he's been getting. Do you think we'd be in the situation if Major League Baseball had punished any players involved in the cheating scandal? Would we be further past it?
No, I don't think so. I think they were going to get booed regardless of whether or not they had suspensions or not. And Mr. Jakey, I agree with you about Altuve. You know, Tony Adams was on Twitter. He's an Astros fan, and he actually went back through a lot of the videotapes and determined how many bangs each player got on the trash can, who was helped the most. It's pretty clear, and Carlos Correa talked about this, Altuve was someone who really didn't want any help. He didn't really use the system in the way that the other players did. But because of the whole buzzer speculation that went on, you know, he's going to get booed. And the bottom line is, if you're connected with this, it's never going to leave you. You know, whether you're, you know, Jose Altuve or you're Alex Bregman or you're Alex Cora, you're Carlos Beltran, it's never going to leave you ever. And that's why I've said, I think Bregman, Alex Cora have had the best perspective on this. They've just acknowledged it and they moved on and figured, look, I can't change people's minds.
Let's go to Don Irvine at Don Irvine. He writes in, since winning the World Series, the Nationals have just won 43% of their games. If they continue at this pace, will Davey Martinez's job be in danger?
Don, my instinct is no, but we've seen this too. You know, a lot of things have not changed with the Nationals. They change your managers a lot. There have been a lot of managerial issues there. And who knows, maybe ownership at some point will start to get frustrated given the amount of money that they're paying the likes of Steven Strasburg.
Last one for today, Matthew Porto at 30-year-old Mulberry writes in, how would you explain the unexpected performance of teams like the Red Sox and the Giants this year and the underperformance of teams like the Dodgers and the Mets moving forward? Should we put less trust in power rankings and Pacoda might have to retape that before the season begins?
No, you nailed it. Look, the context for, you know, the season changes constantly because of injuries, right? You know, players go down, changes are made, some guys slump. And so when we look at power rankings before a season starts, or you look at Pacoda, or you listen to me 2 weeks ago talking about the Dodgers maybe being an all-time great team, that's based on current context, and that's going to change. Which is why a lot of times those, you know, Pacoda projections or the power rankings or what I say, it turns out to be wrong. That's just the way it goes. It's kind of the fun thing about baseball. I mean, you'd hate it, Taylor, if we all knew what was going to happen before the season started.
Yeah, no one knows anything. That's the big secret about sports. When people get on, and I know people get on you like, oh, Buster, you were wrong. Like, yeah, duh. Like, that's why they play the games. Come on, everyone.
Yeah, and sometimes we're not always wrong.
Not always.
Okay.
Wrong. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I remember when they the Mets made that Jared Kelnick trade, I just crushed it. Okay. I get things wrong, but I got that one right.
Buster has a very large brain, everyone. Don't forget it. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets. And set your over under for drinks had this weekend at the bachelor party on Twitter. Woo. Thanks, everyone.
Man, I'm telling you, I am worried about the show on Monday. That's it for today. My thanks to Jess, Sarah, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.